And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E. W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, folks. Hope you are enjoying your day, for this is the day the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. You know, isn't it wonderful to know God? It really is. It's just wonderful to know God. I wonder sometimes, you know, one advantage that we who believe in God have over those who don't. Those who don't have God and don't believe in Him, they look at us and go, "Oh, these you know, hypocrite. These Christians. These, you know, they've got some of them. I have a lot of negative ideas, particularly people on the left. They really have a lot of negative ideas about that, about us, and about Christianity, and about the Bible. And it's coming out in this whole communist Chinese Wuhan virus scare. But you know one difference between us? We've been where they are. They've never been where we are. See, I've lived a life without God. I know what that's like. And I wouldn't want to go back to it for anything in the world. You know, the light has been turned on. Who in the world, once the light is turned on? I mean, you've really seen the light? Who in the world wants to turn it out and be plunged back in the darkness? But you know, when you've lived in the darkness and you've grown up in the darkness and all you've ever seen is darkness, the darkness seems quite normal to you. And you look at those in the light and you go, "What's wrong with those people?" Until the light is turned on for you as well. So I've been in the darkness, but now I'm in the light and I'm never going back. I'm sure all of you feel the same way. So folks, it's great to be with you. Thank you all for praying for us, because we are certainly praying for you. And thank you for your support and encouragement of American Family Radio. I've told you, and I really mean this, folks, this is one of the most wonderful gifts that God has ever given to us as Christians in this country, because this is a network. I was thinking about how Mark Zuckerberg is going to censor Facebook postings that deal with people's protests against what they consider to be unconstitutional restrictions on them by governors and mayors, and those are going to be taken down by Facebook as inaccurate information. Now Facebook becomes the propaganda arm, apparently, of the violators of the Constitution, so that anybody who raises a question will be censored. And, you know, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, and of course, we're a network, we have standards, we want our people to reflect the very best that represents God, and of course the very best that represents the leadership of this network and that represents all of us who are associated with it. But you know, I've never once had anybody say to me, "Oh, we don't want you saying that. We don't want you saying that. You know, you bring up God too much." And folks, I've done secular radio, and I once worked for a secular radio, a big, fairly big secular radio station in Boston. In fact, I could tell you one of the personalities on right now, and you'd probably know him. But in fact, he took over when I left. And I was told by the producer, "You know, you bring up God too much. If you just leave that alone, people don't want to hear that." And of course, my response was, "Yeah, but that's who I am. I'm a believer in God. I can't, you know, be who I am and sort of try to pretend that God is not a part of my life and make no reference to him." I said, that wouldn't be authentic. I think people would spot that in a heartbeat, that there's something, what's missing? This guy is supposed to be a preacher. He's supposed to believe in God. He never mentioned God. Well, needless to say, here at American Family Radio, there is no problem with bringing God up. So thank you all for praying for us, and thank you for supporting us. We really do appreciate it. Now, you know, folks, being on with you all makes me smile. It really does. I enjoy this. I jokingly tell people this is my free therapy. You know,
I get to talk about the things that are on my mind. I get to hear from you all and get to be encouraged and enlightened. There's a part of it that's fun. But, you know, sometimes before I come on, I have to check myself because, you know, there are things that really, really make me, I'd like to think, godly angry. You know, they don't make me hate, but they make me godly angry. You know, when this New Jersey governor was asked, I think his name is Murphy, asked about, you know, whether he considered the Bill of Rights and some of the edicts and orders that he was giving, he said, no, that's above my pay grade. You know, that makes me godly angry because I'm thinking, you took an oath to the Constitution of the United States. You are an official, an elected official in a constitutional republic. The supreme law of the land in our country is the Constitution of the United States. And that's above your pay grade. And no, you didn't consider that while you were taking various actions that you can't really lawfully take anyway. But to say, no, I didn't consider it, to say, no, it's above my pay grade is so arrogant and dismissive. How do people, even rank and file Democrats, how do they vote for folks like that? I mean, how does anybody vote for folks like that, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever party they might be from? I mean, if you can't acknowledge and honor the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, then as far as I'm concerned, you're likely to govern as a lawless individual, which is exactly what this New Jersey governor is doing. It's what the Michigan governor is doing as well, and it's what a number of them have done. But you know what also kind of got me going a little earlier today? When I began to read about how communist China, oh, folks, you've heard this one, I'm sure. But this is here again. I said this when the governor said, that's above my pay grade. I didn't consider that. That's jaw-dropping. This may be doubly jaw-dropping. That communist China actually supplied drones to certain law enforcement agencies in 22 states across our country to allow them to spy on Americans to make sure that we were obeying their edicts, that we were doing what we were told to do. And the drones taking pictures and filing away data about the people of our country, a communist dictatorship, supplies the tool whereby American elected officials in a free country can spy on our citizens. And you know what? It gets worse. You know what the worst is? All the data it collects belongs to communist China. All the data these drones collect goes back to communist China. Now, folks, you know, I'm willing to be patient and an understanding. And I know people sometimes do things out of ignorance. But you would think, would you not? Would you not think that anybody who's approached by communist China, who says to them, hey, we've got some drones we're prepared to give you all, and you can use these to keep an eye on the population and see if they're obeying your requirements, your orders under the coronavirus pandemic. Wouldn't you think that people, that Americans would say, well, wait a minute, the virus came from communist China. It is a totalitarian communist dictatorship. We've had people over the last 2 years, 9 or 10 people have been convicted of spying in our country for China. Maybe I better not take drones from China to spy on our own citizens. You think? Apparently, some people's thinking didn't go that far. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Whenever you see a news report or hear a comment from a medical expert during this virus pandemic, it is important to use some discernment and apply some logic. Since so much of what is reported is from medical experts, it's easy to be intimidated since few of us have a medical degree, but you don't have to know much about science or medicine to see the flaws in what is reported. A good example from a month ago were the statements about masks. On the one hand, we were told that we should not wear a mask. On the other hand, we were told that medical professionals needed masks to protect themselves. Did that mean that masks only work if you get a paycheck from a clinic or a hospital? The general public began to see through the double message being put out by politicians and healthcare experts. Now medical professionals are writing articles trying to explain the different infection rates and death rates. They frequently point to different dates when states went into lockdown as an explanation. Yet a state like Nebraska that never went into lockdown has a very low death rate, less than 1 per 100,000. Dennis Prager cites an article in the Los Angeles Times that quotes a UC Berkeley biostatistician. He argues that California has a lower death rate than New York because California issued a lockdown order earlier than New York. Prager then explains that the article undermines its entire thesis in the next paragraph by stating that Florida didn't impose a stay-at-home order until April 1st. The Los Angeles Times authors never thought to look up Florida's death rate, which is one of the lowest in the country. And it's worth mentioning that Florida has the largest percentage of elderly people in the country. So you don't have to know much about medicine to see the logical flaws in the statements by politicians and the reporting by the media. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed himself in nature and his word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's word and how he speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Brian Fisher here. At last, we are emerging from the coronavirus nightmare. Which governors will be the first to open their states and which will be the last? LA County says the outbreak was far less deadly than predicted. President Trump will suspend immigration to the U.S. until the crisis is over. And Joe floats Michelle Obama as his pick for VP. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. And folks, I want to take your calls as soon as possible because I want to hear, again, how are you doing? How is everything going with you? I shared yesterday my concern about people not being able to visit their loved ones. And apparently one of the accommodations that was being made was to put, for someone that I know, was to put the loved one on the telephone and have the whole family gather around and talk to the loved one through speakerphone. Not quite the same, but that's something, I suppose. So the interesting developments there. But since look, it is clear that the virus itself is turning down. It is clear that across the country, we are seeing the curve bend down. We are seeing declining numbers of cases. So that's a good thing. So it sounds to me like the president is likely on track in terms of beginning, at least on a phase basis, to get the country opened up again at the end of the month. So that's a very, very good thing. But folks, Chinese drones? I mean, really? It's just, you know, you'd have to be making this stuff up, Humble would think. That can't possibly, you're making that up. That's not true. You know, you'd have to think that way because nobody would accept Chinese drones to spy on the American people. Well, apparently some people would. In fact, 22 states, now not the states themselves, but apparently local law enforcement local law enforcement departments, agencies, are the ones who have done this deal. I don't know quite how this company picked out these particular people. And maybe they reached out far and wide and only got an affirmative response from some. There are 43, apparently, of these agencies and departments, and we don't yet know, I don't know, which ones those are. What we do know are the states into which these drones have been used and implemented for the purpose of spying on the American people, spying on the citizens in that particular locality. And the states where this is happening, here again, this is not, I'm not saying that the governors of these states authorized this. I think the local agencies that are using these drones are the ones who authorized this. But Oregon, Washington, California, Texas, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, New Jersey, and New York. Oh, yes, in Michigan, and I mentioned Michigan and New Jersey earlier. So those are the states into which these drones have been unleashed, okay, released upon the citizenry of these states. But apparently it's a local agency matter, not a state matter. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think Tom Cotton is seeking, and he and a couple of other senators are seeking legislation to ban the use of these drones. Folks, there's a whole lot of banning that we need to have, that needs to happen with regard to the infiltration of communist China into our country. I've shared with you all before that we've got one trial pending, but in just 2 years, we've had 10 arrested, 9 people convicted of spying for communist China, spying for the Xi Jinping regime, just in the last 2 years. And most of those were Chinese nationals. A couple of them were native-born Americans. I mean, you know, people who are born here. So this is not a joke, folks. I mean, giving us this kind of thing, we all know about the theft of our intellectual property. We know about the hacking, the theft of technology. It's all right there for us to see. So when you take a piece of technology like this from communist China, say, well, we took it from a private company. There's no such thing in communist China. There's no such thing as a private company in communist China, folks. It doesn't exist. I mean, it exists in form and in name, but not in reality, because the communist Chinese government controls everything and everybody. And by the way, the reports I've seen say that the major companies in China are all run by top operatives in the Communist Chinese Party. The Chinese Communist Party, I should say. Yeah, that those folks who are running these companies who are becoming millionaires and billionaires, those are Chinese. Those are communist operatives. They're big, important members of the Politburo for the most part. So this stuff is very much in-house. These people are not anti-communist activists, because those don't exist in China, or if they do, they don't live to tell it. Just ask the folks who gathered at Tiananmen Square. So, folks, we've got a lot of cleaning up to do in the aftermath of this thing, and I just pray that we will be able to get that right, because I think the future of our country, frankly, depends upon it. Now, let me also add this. None other, folks, than Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is nobody's conservative, okay? Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he is the son of the late Robert F. Kennedy, who was assassinated. He has said that Bill Gates' efforts to propagate his vaccines is filled with corruption. Yeah, Robert F. Kennedy, who is a liberal. And I think Bill Gates is a liberal too. But for some reason, he's saying that this vaccine crusade that Bill Gates is on is not what it's cracked up to be. Now, he has not said this, but I have heard this, that Bill Gates has been using these vaccines to do all kinds of experimentation, and that there have been circumstances in which children and those who are vaccinated have gotten sick as a result. In other words, he's using populations in what we would normally refer to as third world countries, poor countries. He's using them as petri dishes to experiment on with his vaccine crusade. Folks, this is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who here again. I mean, this is not somebody from the conservative movement.
Hi there, Bishop Jackson. This is Jocelyn White Heingartner calling from Harrisonburg. I'm
Jess's mom. Folks, excuse me. Oh, my goodness. I believe me, I don't even know how that happened. I don't even know how that happened. I didn't answer the phone. It just started talking to me. Well, see, you know, now that's what I get for talking about Bill Gates, folks. Big tech is on the move. You know what? Let me shut this thing down completely, because otherwise people are going to keep calling me. The number here is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I said that only to say, you know, Bill Gates is deep in the World Health Organization and deep in this whole coronavirus situation. And it's just not clear that his motivations are completely altruistic. You know, he's part of the big population control movement. You know, he believes that the part of the major problem we have in the world is population. And controlling and limiting population is a big part of what he thinks he's called to do, I guess, by whom, I'm not sure. But it's a big part of his mission in life. And so, you know, he's got these digital tattoos and capsules and, you know, various ways to mark people from birth. So, folks, while thank God that this thing is beginning to recede, it's just beginning to recede, which we were praying that Resurrection Sunday would really be the turning point, and it was. I really believe it was. That's the moment at which we began to see. And by the way, I don't mind pointing out that that's the time that President Trump originally named to say, we want by Easter Sunday to see this thing beginning to go down. In fact, remember, he had called for churches to be back in session. And for anybody who'd been out of church, to go back to church on Resurrection Sunday. But then, of course, he was convinced that that was simply too dangerous by Fauci and Birx. And so it was put off for another 2 weeks. But I think, frankly, he was right the first time. I really do. I think he was right the first time. So, but now I think that's where we're headed. And we'll see the ratcheting back of some of these unlawful orders anyway. And so they'll go away. They'll be moot. In other words, of no effect. But folks, in the aftermath of this, there's a lot of splaining to do. Okay. In the aftermath of this, there will be a lot of people with a lot to answer for in terms of information, in terms of unconstitutional behavior. In terms of the abuse of governmental power, there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of explaining to do. I was talking to Matt Staver on a conference call earlier. You know, he's been on with us, and he was explaining some of the minute detail into which some of these governors have gone with their orders in terms of telling people exactly how and what they may do and when they may do it. I mean, it just gets right into the minutiae of a person's life, folks. You know, this spying on everybody with drones and having everybody ratting everybody else out. I went to the bank yesterday. Somebody said, you don't have a mask on. I said, I'm not required to wear one. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Two words can make a tremendous difference in the life of an individual. Those two words are very small and very simple words. Keep trying. When we hit an obstacle in life, when life becomes hard and difficult, as it often does, we need to remember and practice those two words. As long as we keep trying, we are giving God a chance to help. There's an old proverb which goes something like this: God helps those who help themselves. And you can be certain that He does. God wants our best dreams, our highest ambitions to come true. In one sense of the word, God is on our side. I am with you to the end, Jesus said. That means we never have to face life alone. As long as we keep trying, we can be assured of God's help. This means trying in the midst of failure and despair. Edmund Burke, the British statesman, put it this way: never despair. But if you do, work on in despair. Keep trying. Work on in despair. And you know, as long as you keep trying, you keep hope alive within you. A person never loses hope until he quits trying. Hope is one of the most priceless and precious qualities one can have. Hope means believing and trusting and working. Hope is a positive attitude. A man by the name of Hickson once wrote, "If at first you don't succeed, try again." Life is much more enjoyable when you believe the best and work for the highest. When you give in or give up, hope dies. But it lives as long as you keep trying. Then remember also that as long as you keep trying, you have a chance to reach your goal. When you quit, that chance is gone. A very important sentence found in the Book of Books goes like this: I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Many a thing that couldn't be done has been done because one person kept trying. He kept at it, giving God a chance to help and keeping hope alive inside himself. A minister was once asked to define perseverance. He gave a quite complete definition. It means, first, to take hold; second, to hold on; third and last, to never let go. Well, it's a pretty good prescription for the faint of heart to use. Two lines from the poet's pen put it this way: so stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. From experience, I know it to be true. The ability to keep trying is a very valuable virtue. The next time life deals a crushing blow, and it will, stand on your feet and go at it again. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Life can never defeat a person whose mind and heart are saturated with the power of that phrase. Think on it, believe it, and keep trying. You will make it if you do.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. Just a snippet about Bill Gates. There's a lot more that can be said. We could do a whole show on this. But, you know, the Gates Foundation apparently was responsible for killing 151 African infants while they were funding in a trial of an experimental malaria drug that had been backed by Big Pharma. I mean, it resulted in seizures and paralysis and convulsions. And, you know, Bill Gates has given $10 billion to the World Health Organization to what he calls ushering in the decade of vaccines, the decade of vaccines. There are also accusations, for example, one made by Muhammad Nagari of the Mercy Medical Center in Nairobi, who says that the vaccines that Bill Gates gave to them, to 2.3 million women and girls, were laced with something they call HCG. It's an antigen, and it causes miscarriages. And the thought is that this is part of Bill Gates' population control effort. Now, here again, this is done by the way of experimentation, trying to find out what's right, but ultimately Babies are lost, lives are lost, the ability of women to have children is lost in the process. And some people are arguing, this Dr. Nagari argues, he thinks it is an intentional effort to further the Gates agenda of population control. So, folks, this here again, in the aftermath of this whole thing, there are a lot of important discussions to be had that none of us knew anything about until this thing broke. That's one of the ways in which this may be a blessing in disguise. And here again, you all know what I mean by that. I mean that there may be some things that come out of this that ultimately help us to find out some of the things that have been going on quietly in the background that none of us has known anything about. And this virus has now caused these things to come to the surface so that all of us know something about it. And what I hope it does is to help make our constitutional rights even more secure in the future, because we are a lot more suspicious of things that we are told by the experts and that we are expected to simply accept because, after all, that's the science. Well, yeah, except there's a lot more to it than that. Okay, the number again is 888-589-8840. Let's come to your calls. Let's see. Let's go to Joe in Arkansas. Joe in Arkansas. Joe, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Bishop Jackson. I had a question I wanted to ask you, and that's this. Why has it become so absolutely unthinkable in this country now to enforce the laws that we have against treason and insurrection? And the reason I ask this is it looks to me clearer from the evidence that the leading lights of the Democrat Party have collaborated with China to bring this Wu flu incident, I wouldn't call it a crisis, it's a made-up crisis, but the incident upon this country, and that they are using it further as an excuse to try to overthrow a republic form of government, free republic form of government, and bring us into a communistic system instead. And I would think that those two things would qualify as treason and insurrection, but it seems to be absolutely unthinkable in this country now to call them treason and insurrection or even talk about enforcing our laws against treason and insurrection. And I wanted to ask you, why is it that our country has come to this point?
Well, Joe, look, it's a very, very interesting question. And it's the same question, I think, that has been raised when I've referred to people as communists and even had some conservatives kind of wince. And I think it's because the media has done such a great job of convincing us that if you point out certain things that at the very least require looking into, you are by definition a right-wing crazy and a kook, and nobody should listen to you because you don't matter. And that's what they do. And so raising these issues of people betraying our country and committing acts of treason, I think you'll get the same kind of reaction from the mainstream media. And of course, politicians never like anything negative being said about them if they can help it, most of them. And so they will steer away from things that they know are lightning rods. I think that we have to think the unimaginable. I just think we've got to think outside the box on this. And I'm not sure that we can prove that anybody colluded with Communist China. Yeah, here comes that word again, collusion. All this nonsense raised about the President of the United States colluding with Putin and colluding with Russia. I'm not sure we can prove that any leftist has colluded with Communist China, at least any elected official. I don't know that we can't, but I don't have any information indicating that we can. But you know, there is such a thing in the law as accessory after the fact. In other words, if you help someone who's committed a crime to cover up that crime or to finish up that crime, you can be charged with being an accessory after the fact, which carries with it a very substantial penalty. And, you know, even if nobody in our country is responsible for this quote unquote accident that released this virus upon the world, to the extent that they've given cover for China after it happened, when the president shut China travel down into our country and they call the president a racist and xenophobic and he shouldn't do that, the president probably saved thousands of lives by doing that and probably changed the trajectory of this virus by doing that. But, oh, no, he's a racist and he's xenophobic. And when you get people defending communist China, like this guy, the guy from CNN, it'll come to me, but that whole crowd over there, you know, Jake Tapper and all of them claiming that the president is scapegoating communist China. He's scapegoating China. Scapegoating.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over
in your mind. You know the thing.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
Hello, this is Bishop Harry Jackson of Hope Christian Church in Beltsville, Maryland.
Jesus said you would do greater works than he did. In other words, there's a miracle in your prayer, there's a miracle in your mouth, there's a miracle in your hands, but that miracle is a sign to those who are seeking peace, sign to those who want the truth, a sign to those who God has set you on your job, in your community, in your family to reach. Am I making any sense? So we need you to be a proclaimer of truth. We need you to believe that greater works are going to follow you. We need you to believe that these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, break the authorities of darkness. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. In my name, they will take up serpents. If the serpents try to strike them on the way to their assignment, they'll shake it off, and it will do them no harm. Talking about my disciples, not somebody just making up a fairy tale or trying to preach the gospel to their personal advantage, but those who have humbled themselves and are led by the Spirit. In the Greek understanding of it would say, as many as are continually led of the Spirit, they are the mature sons of God.
Okay, Randy, are we back?
Join us this Sunday morning at 6251 Annandale Road in Beltsville or on the web at thehopeconnection.org.
You think about Viktor Frankl. He was, he survived Nazi Germany concentration camp.
Dr. Gregory Jantz on Focus on the Family Minute.
He ended up studying, what was the difference for some who really survived? And, the bottom line, and I know we've been told this before, is that we can't always control our circumstance. Wow, is that true right now?
Absolutely.
But we have a choice. And we can choose optimism for the future. We can choose hope. And he talked about you can also choose joy. And so if you can imagine that in a concentration camp and cruel concentration camps, choosing optimism, choosing a future of hope.
More from Dr. Jantz today at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Franklin Graham. As news about the coronavirus seems to worsen, many people are feeling overwhelmed, anxious, even fearful. We want to help. At the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, we have a prayer line that's open 24/7. We have staff who would love to speak with you, pray with you. Remember, God loves you.
Call 1-888-388-2683. That's 1-888-388-2683. Or visit billygraham.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Every day, babies in their mother's wombs are fighting for life, with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm going to go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
I came seeking termination, but once I got here and I took an ultrasound, I was overjoyed when I found out that I was having three baby boys.
Preborn's mission is to help save babies' lives and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, we're back, and when the program is over, I'm going to get my binoculars and take a walk around the studio and look for drones, because as I got to talking about Bill Gates and talking about Communist China and the drones, all of a sudden my phone rings and answers on its own, and I'm popped off the air, and if you're thinking, well, maybe you're a little paranoid. Well, you know what the saying goes, even the paranoid have real enemies. So, you know, wow. But folks, we're going to get right to your calls, because that's what I was trying to do as I was so unexpectedly interrupted. So let me see. I think we've lost track of, no, maybe I haven't. Let's see if I can get you in time. We've got Neil in Ohio. Neil, you're on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Is it safe to talk to you?
I don't know, Neil. We're just going to keep risking exercising our First Amendment rights.
Okay. Well, right to the point here. About this coronavirus. Now, I'm in Ohio, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I voted for this governor, and he is contemplating. I'm not sure if he's backtracked on this. I haven't heard, but he was contemplating releasing prisoners, supposedly prisoners that weren't a threat. Now, if they did the crime, they need to do the time. But he was going to release prisoners from a major facility. But then I'm reading an article right now where Michigan is contemplating arresting people that have the virus. So I'm shaking my head and thinking, wait a minute. You're going to put people in jail for having the virus, but yet Ohio's going to release people that have the virus. I leave you with that thought.
Carrying, keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Somewhere I came across a story which kind of took me by surprise. It's the story of a man who was being checked by the Internal Revenue Department concerning his income tax return. And in that respect, he had something in common with many of us. For occasionally, our Uncle Sam wants to see the proof that we did what we said we did with our money. It seems as though this particular gentleman was being asked to produce records which substantiated some of his claims made when he filed his income tax return. The fellow who was doing the questioning was rather short and rude with the man, and was actually treating the man as though he had told a lie about every deduction made on his return. When questioned about his travel expenses, the gentleman produced records which showed that he had spent exactly what he said he had spent. Then the Internal Revenue agent asked him to produce records concerning his medical expenses. The gentleman reached into his file, pulled out his medical expenses statements, and laid them on the table before the agent. Upon close examination, the agent found...
My apologies, folks. I know now, when I start talking about drones from China and Bill Gates, look out. So, let's see. Bill, are you there? Bill from Alabama, are you there? Okay.
Hello.
Okay, there you are. Hello. Hi, Bill. Bill, you're on.
Hi, this is Bill in Alabama, Reverend Jackson, Bishop Jackson. Who can I contact in my state in Alabama to find out where these drones are?
Wow, that's a good question. To tell you the truth, I'm not sure about that, but we will look into it for you. You can do a little searching of your own if you got access to the internet. All we've been given so far are the states, not the localities. So I don't know. I just don't know where they are. So,
down with sorry. 30-odd buckshot.
Hey, Bill. Listen, the last time I checked, it's not illegal to shoot a drone. So just make sure what the rules are in your particular locality or county. But thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it. Let's go to David in Tennessee. David, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, David, you're on.
No, I'm from Texas.
Oh, sorry about that, David. Texas.
No,
I got
okay.
it. I got it. Okay.
They really don't like you, do they? They just keep cutting you off.
Yeah, well, you know? They don't know. I never quit. I'll keep coming back. So.
I love your show. I listen to you every single day. I love what you say. And, brother, you say the truth. There is so much I could say, but I just want to say one thing. The president knows he got played as far as this whole virus thing is concerned.
Well, you know, David, look, I think I understand exactly what you're saying, and I will simply say this. I think the president was really caught between a rock and a hard place. I think that if the president had not sort of just conceded whatever the experts were saying, I think the headlines in every newspaper in the world, practically speaking, would have been President Donald Trump responsible for genocide of whatever numbers of people died. And I think that's what he was thinking about, because that was the way it looked. They're playing it that way now, except they don't have the credibility to do so. But still, they're still saying that the president is responsible for all of these deaths because he didn't act soon enough. My goodness gracious, they were considering, I mean, they were excoriating the man for having shut down travel from China as a racist and a xenophobe. And then he does that, and then later on, he's scapegoating China. You can't win with these people, no matter what you do with them. I think that the president probably, my guess is he's probably thinking to himself that had he had it to do over again, he probably would have tweaked things a bit and not done it in a perfect world. Now, let me say that in a perfect world in which this happens. In other words, where he's dealing with people who are actually concerned about facts and truth and information, not concerned about getting him, I think he probably would have made some different decisions along the way. and probably would have had some different kinds of information available to him. But that's not the world we live in. We live in the political world is get.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
Hello, this is Bishop Harry Jackson of Hope Christian Church in Beltsville, Maryland.
Jesus said you would do greater works than he did. In other words, there's a miracle in your prayer, there's a miracle in your mouth, there's a miracle in your hands, but that miracle is a sign to those who are seeking peace, sign to those who want the truth, a sign to those who God has set you on your job, in your community, in your family to reach. Am I making any sense? So we need you to be a proclaimer of truth. We need you to believe that greater works are going to follow you. We need you to believe that these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, break the authorities of darkness. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. In my name they will take up serpents. If the serpents try to strike them on the way to their assignment, they'll shake it off, and it will do them no harm. Talking about my disciples, not somebody just making up.
Well, folks, this has been quite a day. Thank you all for your patience. I don't know what to get Bill Gates so upset or what I said to get the Chinese communists so upset. But apparently they've sent the gremlins into our machinery and we've been having a difficult time just staying on today. But look, we've come to the end of the program. So I'm not going to try to take any more of your calls and get you all caught up in that. I will simply say this, folks. Let us be vigilant. I'm hearing it now. I was not hearing it before, but I'm hearing it now from some of the pundits, particularly the conservative pundits, libertarian pundits, that our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, does not get suspended because of a crisis. And I've said myself that in a crisis, it should be even more vigilantly defended. Even more diligently defended, because that's when it's in its most danger. And by the way, I've got something very exciting I want to share with you all about this whole issue of the Constitution, but I won't do it today. You all stand by. That'll be coming up. I hope whatever problems we've been having, we can get cleared up before tomorrow, because I have no clue what they are. But thank you all. That's why I said, please pray for us. Please pray for us, because you all know there are people who would prefer that our voices not be heard. But you know what?
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.